Is Trump a real Republican? You can't believe the enemy of the people.
Hello, and welcome to the Printing City Podcast for March 12th, 2017. I'm Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
That's me.
That's you.
That's me. We're also joined now by our producer, Craig Collins, who, what is your job here at WGN Plus?
He does everything.
Yeah, I'm the WGN Plus producer, I think.
Okay,
which is the plus and the plus.
Let's just leave it at that.
Okay, well, that's Craig Collins anyway. Some guy who's sitting in the room
with
us and helps us put this together. We really appreciate it. Thank you, Craig.
You're welcome.
Okay. You can say thank you, too, if you want.
Thank you, Craig. Sorry, it's a daylight
I love the
savings
long pause
time.
There.
Still not.
Yeah, Janine's kind of in a daze. Yeah.
One measly hour.
I hate daylight savings time. It's the dumbest damn thing in the world. They should just keep it the clocks where they are right now and not change them. Let's keep it this way, 365.
I hate this one. I like the other one. When the clock goes back, that's always nice. When it goes forward,
we should just
that's
keep
awful.
Going back.
Yeah, let's
time.
Just do that. It's fine. Ignore like how it's sun and
who
light
cares?
Changes.
We have awful days of dark.
I love that idea.
Well, and the explanation for it is stupid. There's never been a legitimate reason for this. Farmers like it. Horse crap. Farmers wake up when the sun comes up and milk the cows and go do whatever it is. Farmers do. I don't know. I'm from San Diego.
Or golfers, I read that it was for
that makes the most
longer.
Sense. Wow. That it was just like a thing for a rich guy who had a bunch of golf courses and they passed this legislation. We lived in Arizona. Janine and I lived in Arizona for a few years and loved that. You don't have to change your clock.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay.
Although I do, again, I like when it goes back. We need to still workshop the rest of the idea there.
Yeah, I'm not sure you can keep rolling it back because...
Right. Again, I understand the premise. Okay. Like when it goes back.
Anyway, this week
we have a very nice comment here. For
let's
you.
Let's go there.
Sort of a mostly nice. Jackie on Facebook, she wrote that I love Stantis. I'm a big fan, but I do agree that President Trump needs some leeway. The attack mode should be dropped and the crying cease. I say that for everyone. I never liked Obama, but I accepted what had happened and got over it.
Yeah, I see that, but I mean. There are legitimate reasons not to like this presidency, I think the strip has gotten one note. We've talked about this before, and in fact, this week's Prickly City talks about that. It says, when Carmen on the Monday says, why did it have to be this Republican who won the election? And she goes on to say, Republicans equal adults, and that's why she's so, upset about this because this guy is a petulant child, frankly. But she promises to be less negative, and I actually wrote another week last night. I write down the weekends for the strip, and I came up and I think I'm breaking away from the one noteness. I hope, we'll see. I went back to visiting. That was almost a complete sentence, huh? I have worked in journalism my entire life. I've mentioned this before. My dad worked for TV stations, so he would plunk me when he brought me to work. He'd plunk me in the newsroom. I hung out with the journalists there. I've worked at newspapers or for newspapers since I was 18 years old. So, I mean, most of these people, I think it's if they sin, it's through omission, not commission. They're human beings, but I gotta tell you, 99.9% of the time they're working their butts off to get the story correct. And so the attack that they are the enemy of the American people is disturbing, to say the least. It's clearly an action by this White House and frankly the Republican Party and conservatives who have tried to diminish the media for a long time, and now they're in a position to do it with the internet and the interwebs and all that, tweeting and FaceTiming you people do, you
we
young
have
kids.
Some comments on that.
Okay.
Carl says the enemy never looks like the enemy. They look like your friend.
Does that mean? Who's the enemy?
Well,
your friends are.
The press. Being okay. The enemy of the people. That's what he's saying, that they don't look like your enemy.
It also
never look like your enemy.
It also sort of sounds like I'm your enemy. That's what that kind of sounds
everyone's
like.
Everyone's your enemy.
Well, if you read some of my comments, apparently these guys do think everyone is their enemy. But anyway, go on.
And Oakstone says the press is supposed to be the natural enemy of politicians. The problem of the past three decades is that most of the press have chosen instead to be collaborators with Democratic administrations and Democrats in Congress, and adversarial only with Republicans.
Yeah, and that's true. And there used to be, long before the advent of the internet, there was a, and I think it's still around, called Media Watch. And it was a conservative watchdog group for media and would kind of call out different media outlets and personalities, particularly on the network news. It sounds so quaint how important they were back then. And I loved reading it because I think much of it was true. Because working with reporters, they generally are liberal. I mean, recent surveys have shown that, 7% of newsrooms now consider themselves either conservative or Republican. And that's down from someplace in the 30 percentile when I was starting in this business. So, I think you're going to get that. But by turns, they still cover a story as best they can. And I to call them the enemy of the American people is hogwash. And dangerous, extremely dangerous. Here in, actually, something happened over the weekend here in Illinois. The Illinois Policy Institute, a conservative think tank, went after the editorial board of the Chicago Tribune.
Wow.
Yeah, and said that we do things half-assed, which, you know, because we supported this compromise to get over a budget crisis that's been dragging on for what? 3-4 decades now.
What do they think
it feels like
should have been done?
Well, they have their own budget. They propose their own budget. To be fair, they have an alternative, but it's ridiculous because, first off, this is a very blue state and they're not going to have a Republican budget. Mm-hmm. But to say that, you know, the people I work with, and I'm on the editorial board, by the way, and I want to call them up and ask them, you know, okay, we do it half-assed. How do we do it whole-assed? How do we get from half-assed to whole-assed? Janine, what, do you have any idea?
That should have
really
been the intro.
Sure, but we've got comments by Darson54, who says the press isn't always the friend of the people either. Shoddy, incomplete reporting done following a herd meme helps pretty much no one. And J.W. Cotton kind of agrees. He says, fake news is the enemy of the people, not the free press. Get it right or stop writing. Earn it by digging and documenting or stop calling it news.
Then stop calling it a fake news, first off. Okay, that's dismissive and it's ridiculous and it's a, you know, it's a catchy phrase, but it's bull. It's total bull. And I for one, am fed up with that. I know these people. Do they get the story right all the time? They don't. I mean, Craig, you work in a radio station that has a newsroom, and they,
yep.
And you know what? We screw up. Guess what? It's a human institution, and mistakes are going to happen. That's what human beings do.
Are there more mistakes now because you have to get the news out so fast? And
I think so.
Beat the 24-hour news sources.
I think that's part of it. Also, you do have a lot of people positioning themselves as newsmakers or or as journalists. I'm doing air quotes, which rarely work in podcasting, but I'm okay. So, but they position themselves as journalists, and they're not. And so they. So I go online every morning, obviously, and look at news, get feed from Twitter, from Facebook, you know, and those types of sites, and then go to the websites. And so it's just the stuff that is passed around as factual, and then you track it back to, you know, something like a Breitbart or some other, or frankly, Daily Kos. I mean, both sides participate in making this crap up. It dilutes what is an important aspect of our democracy, and I'm not sure where this ends up. I think wherever it's going, it feels really bad.
Yeah.
So I stand up for everyone having a right to say what they want to say, but I have a right to call BS on you, and also on your site and on your news.
You need to have vetted sources. Like that's why you had newspapers.
That is, I think the bigger danger is the fact that newspapers have cut in radio stations and television stations have cut back news legitimate journalists. We had a round of layoffs about a year ago, Janine?
Maybe. I think so.
Where they laid off over 40 people, all of them, most of them over 50, between 45 and older. And we got rid of what they estimate to be over almost 400 years of experience of institutional memory. Well, you're going to make mistakes then, because if you can't put things in a context of how things happened before, well, then you're not going to really be expert on what things should be going forward, it seems to me.
Previously, when you had young new reporters come in, they had the older, more experienced ones there to guide them.
Yeah, those guys are gone.
Them. Yeah, so now they're just sort of on their own. They're thrown in with nothing.
They are, and it, you know, again, it's a human institution. Someone comes in who's young. You throw them in a beat. They don't have the experience to cover it.
Game over.
Yeah. It's so. As far as journalism in this country goes in the world, we are in deep, deep doo-doo. There are some parts of the world, where, Japan, for instance, where it's flourishing. Because, for instance, gee, think of this. The newspapers don't post their stuff online.
What?
Yeah.
How do they tell people things?
They have to buy it.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, and it's like $5. It's not cheap to buy a newspaper in Japan, but it pays for the journalism. So, man, I don't know what direction we're going to go. I'm despondent. I am, because when you start saying nothing is true, well, then nothing becomes true. So if I can pick and choose what reality is, or you, or anyone who's listening, that's no offense to you, but that's dangerous, in my view. Any other comments we got to get to? Or
well, on your strip where you discussed that Trump was not a real Republican, we had a few comments on that.
Okay, let's go to that.
Jeffrey on Facebook said, "Hey, Carmen, Trump's not a real Republican. Let's just hope we get at least one, maybe two good Supreme Court seats out of this mess. Remember, the alternative was much worse." But Gamma Guy kind of disagrees with that. He says, well, maybe so, but if she'd been elected, the Republicans would have blocked/sabotaged anything actually positive that she tried to do, then claimed it was her fault. This way, it's hard to blame the Democrats for what an all-Republican government is doing.
Well, you have, you know, during the Clinton administration, you had the Republicans in the House, when they took control, block in the Senate, block his appointments. W gets elected. The Democrats take over the Senate. Guess what happens? They block his appointments. They blocked Obama's appointments when the Republicans took the Senate back over.
Tit for tat.
Yeah, it's just childish. It's just, you know, is there merit? I mean, we had this discussion today at an editorial board meeting about the forced resignation of all of the district attorneys. Not district attorneys, state's attorneys, right? Is that what they were?
Yes. I think so.
Prosecutor. Anyway, the federally appointed attorneys for each state. And my point was, you know, this tastes and smells like the old spoil systems from the 19th century, when you had to be a Democrat. If a Democrat was in office, they got all the goodies versus merit. I mean, I used to believe that merit was a thing that we should do. Apparently, I'm in the minority, or just me. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. I think we've gone long enough. What do you think? Janine?
Well, I've got one more that I think is kind of interesting.
So we're going long, and it's your fault. I need to point this out.
All right. I'll take the blame. D. Troutma says, true conservatives want rational actions. So do true liberals. Trump and crew are not conservatives. But sorry, corporate oligarchy is neither conservative nor liberal. It's quite simply fascism. And no, folks, that does not mean Nazi, which was a psychotic abandonment of humane principles.
Oh, that's a great... Who said that?
D. Troutma.
Oh, D. Troutma?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I hope they keep commenting, because that's very, very smart. And I don't know if it's he or she, but they are correct. You know, there are people on both sides of goodwill who want the best. You know, we all want to get to the same place. It's how do you get there? But we don't have people of goodwill in positions of authority right now. And that's the House and the Senate, too, folks, by the way. And it's Democrat and Republican. I mean, Nancy friggin' Pelosi. Did you hear what she said? Now you've got me on a tangent. Now we are going to go longer. Did you hear what she said about the health care plan? The American health care, whatever the hell they're calling it, the Republican
Trump
plan?
Care, Republic
she said
care.
We need to read it before we pass it.
They didn't pass. You read the
She's
Obama
the one
care.
Who had the quote, we'll know what's in it after we pass it. Is irony is lost on the stupid people. That's just a fact.
But boom. That's a great ending.
It's not lost on us. So listen, thank you all for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. Thank you, WGN and WGN Plus, for all of their support and for lending us Craig Collins.
Yep. Yay, Craig.
Yay.
Hussein and Janine, thank you. And to all of you, if you want to keep up with the goings-ons of Carmen and Winslow, you can go to gocomics.com/Prickly City. You can go to scottstantis.com. And if you want to leave a comment, and we'll, you know, if it's frothy and
we'll take it on.
Give us your froth. And if you want to just email us directly, you can at pricklycity@gmail.com. and that's it for this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. One last time, thank you so much for listening, and until next time, we'll see you in the funny episode.